All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. What are you afraid of? Yeah, I know that the question is grammatically incorrect, but that is how we usually ask it. We all have things of which we are afraid. Some are natural and normal, and some are abnormal, and they make no sense to others, despite the fact that they're certainly very real fears to the person that fears them. Some seem to have no fear of anything. On the other hand, there are others that seem to be afraid of almost everything. And some, because of youth and a lack of experience, they don't know enough to be afraid. In fact, there was a very popular fad just a few years ago that you see a lot of the young people wear T-shirts that says, "No fear." And there are some, despite even their maturity and experience, they fear things of which really they ought not to be afraid. The New Testament teaches us not to fear. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 4, we find that Jesus makes the statement that I say unto you, my friends, do not be afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. So what we are not to fear are those who can kill, but they kill only the body. We find that the New Testament teaches us also that we're not to fear death and judgment. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "And delivered them who through fear of death were all of their lifetime subject to bondage." And in 1 John chapter 4, it's in verse 17 that we read, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world." We, too, are not to fear the civil authorities, the laws of the land. It's in Romans, the 13th chapter, that we begin our reading with verse 1. "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on them that practice evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all of their dues, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." So the New Testament teaches us that we are not to fear the rulers and the authorities of the land. And then, too, we find that Peter tells us another thing that we ought not to fear. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it's in verse 11 that we begin reading. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do so as the ability that God supplies. For in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good, as to a faithful Creator. So we see then that we're not to fear, even when it comes to our suffering for the doing of that which is right. And in all these things that the New Testament teaches us not to fear, that there are things that are mentioned in the New Testament that we are to fear. We are to fear the one who can kill the body and destroy the soul. It's in Luke 12. We read verse 4 a moment ago, but let's look now at verse 5. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed has power to kill, to cast into hell. Yet I say unto you, fear him. So verse 4 tells us not to fear man, because all man can do is kill the body. But we're told by Jesus now in verse 5 that we're to fear him that after he hath killed, he has power to cast into hell. So that, of course, refers to God. He is the one that we are to fear. Also, we find that we are to fear hell itself. In Mark chapter 9, when we see here as we drop further down into the chapter to verse 42, Jesus is talking, and notice what he says beginning with verse 42. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned into or thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame rather than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. So we see then that truly the picture that Jesus is portraying for us here is of a place that we need to fear. That place where, as he says, the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. Hell truly is a place that we need to fear. So we need to put hell back into our minds. Not as many people have, and that is they have completely eliminated it from their thoughts, from the thinking, from the meditation, and therefore to go about life as if there is no hell. But we need to fear hell. Jesus himself said more about hell than any other person that we read about in the New Testament. There's something else we need to fear as well, and that is apostasy. That is falling away or being led away from the truth. It's in Romans 11 that we read, beginning with verse 20. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fail, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. But if thou were cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall you, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? What Paul is talking about here is the fact that at one time, God made a promise to Abraham that his seed would be a special people. And this was a promise that God made to Abraham in three ways, that his seed would become a great nation. To his seed, he would give a great land. And it would be of his seed that all nations of the earth would be blessed. God fulfilled all three of those promises. And now we find that through Christ, it's not just the Jews, the seed of Abraham, that is God's people, but now we see the Gentiles grafted in. All of humanity is now applicable to the law of Christ and what God has made available in the salvation of all of mankind from sin. And so this is what we're seeing here. And so what it tells us is we need to fear lest we be no longer counted, that we would be cast off, that we would no longer be a part of that which God has grafted in. So we need to be fearful of apostasy. And in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10, it says that with all deceivableness of unrighteous deception among those that perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they should be damned, who love not the truth. So we see then that we need to fear, or else if we do not love the truth, God will send us a strong delusion, so that we will continue to believe the lie, and that lie will cause us to be lost. Friends, if none of these causes us to fear the things that we should, then there's one final thing that we better be prepared to deal with, and that is our eternal company in hell. Since we're all afraid of something, perhaps a better question is, of what are you most afraid, death or damnation? Let's give some serious thought to that question. We see your time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and we'll now return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.